Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and that the children were shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "But have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And then he left them and went to the city of Bethany, which is nearby, where he spent the night. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Lord, your name is majestic in all the earth, and we are small before you. But you do not despise what is small. You stoop, you crown, and you call. Come now by your Holy Spirit, and let us see ourselves as you see us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. David, King David, that is, looked at the stars and asked, "What is man?" And 2,000 years later, a man walked out the tomb and answered that very question. It is night on the hills above Bethlehem. The air is sharp and clear, the kind of eastern sky where the stars don't just sit at a distance. They feel close enough to touch. A young man lies in the grass. He has been watching the sheep, but the sheep are still now, and he is watching the heavens. And somewhere in that vast, silent display of light and space, a question rises in him, so large that he cannot hold it. He whispers it in the dark. He says, "What is man, that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him?" That was David. And it is not a question of despair. It is a question of his astonishment. One of my bucket lists is to see the heavens, how they truly are. I want to go somewhere like Chile, into the mountains. I want to be walked out, blindfolded, told to look up, and then the blindfold taken off, to see what David is writing about in Psalm 8. To feel the grandeur of the universe, but also my place in that. The psalm opens and closes with the same words. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." That is not accidental. It is a frame, and everything in the psalm sits inside it. Before David says a word about humanity, he establishes who God is. His glory is set above the heavens. The creation is stunning, but it cannot contain the Creator. It points to him. And then David looks at the moon and the stars, set in place by God's fingers. Not his fist, not his arms, but his fingers. The casual, effortless creativity of a God for whom galaxies are craftwork. And in the face of all of that, David reaches for the smallest possible word for a human being. Mortal, frail, dust with a heartbeat. And he asks, "What is this creature that even you, Lord, think about him?" And hear what that frame is doing. We are not starting with human beings. We are starting with God. Our worth is derived from him. It's not independent worth. We are magnificent, but only because of who made us and what he says over us. If you take God out of that equation and the magnificence goes with him, you cannot keep the crown and remove the one who placed you there. A culture that has removed God still desperately insists on human dignity, but without a maker who speaks worth into existence, worth becomes whatever the powerful decide. Today it is declared. Tomorrow it is cancelled. That is not dignity. That is fragility dressed in confident language. And people are building their lives on it. And it is always shifting. And when it shifts, they have nothing to stand on. The frame of this psalm that holds human dignity in place is not a philosophy, not a political settlement, not a United Nations declaration. It is the name of the Lord. And because it is his name, our dignity cannot be taken from us by any power in heaven or on earth, because the one who assigned it rules over all of them. Your value is not determined by what you produce. It is not determined by how you feel about yourself on any given morning. It is not determined by the opinion of the person who has hurt you most. It was spoken over you by the God whose glory exceeds the heavens. That word does not change. You are small, genuinely, but you are held completely, and both things are true at the same time. Now the psalm turns in the next few verses, and it turns towards something almost too large to take in. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. The Hebrew word behind heavenly beings is Elohim, the word for God. David is saying, carefully, reverently, that human beings stand just one step below the divine. We carry the image of God. We reflect his glory in a way nothing else in all of creation does. And with that image comes a commission. Dominion over everything that moves, on the land, in the air, through the sea. But notice what the psalm doesn't say. It did not say that you, God, made man a little higher than the beasts. That would actually be true. We sit midway between the angels and the animals. But the psalm deliberately looks upwards and not downwards. We are not defined by what is below us, but what is above us. We are creatures whose faces are turned towards God. When we look up, we become more like the one who looks towards us. But when we look down, when we take our whole identity from appetite, instinct, survival, what other people think of us, we become less than we were made to be. Not more free, but less. Think about how different this is from every other ancient religion. In Babylon, human beings were created because the gods were tired. They needed servants, someone to do their dirty work. That was your dignity in the world. Be useful to the gods who could not be bothered. But this God, the God of the psalm, needs nothing and crowns us anyway. Not because he needs us, but because of who he is. He crowns the small. But here is where honesty forces us to stop. Not because we do not see the crown, well, not fully anyway. The writer to the Hebrews quotes this very psalm and then admits it plainly. At present, we do not see everything subject to him. The dominion is real on the page, but fractured in the world. We have pursued dominion and produced devastation. The glory is real, but it is cracked, and something went deeply wrong. And this is where Psalm 8 stops being beautiful poetry and becomes urgent good news. Because Hebrews doesn't stop at the crack. It says, at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. He is the one who wore the crown without corruption, who commanded wind and wave, cast out darkness, raised the dead. He is the true human, the one in whom everything Psalm 8 describes finally and fully, and it all comes true. He took our fragility, became mortal, became one of us, passed through death, and came out the other side, crowned with glory and honour at the right hand side of God our Father. And because he did this, he opened the way for us to carry the crown again, not through striving, not through achievement, but simply through belonging to him. The crack in the crown is real, but the one who repairs it is already enthroned, and he is not finished with us yet. There's one more thing that we need to see, and it is easy to miss because it sits quietly at the beginning of the psalm, between the grand opening declaration and the stars, where David says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. God has chosen, of all the weapons available to him, the mouths of children, the weakest, the most dependent, the ones who cannot provide for themselves. That is what he has set against those who oppose him. This is not a footnote. It is the key to the whole psalm. The God who flung the stars into place with his fingers chooses to make his name majestic in the earth, not through overwhelming force, but through those who depend on him entirely. The stronghold God builds, the defense he raises against everything that opposes him, is not made of stone. It is made of trust. Jesus quotes this verse directly, as we heard in the gospel reading. The children are singing his praises in the temple courts, and the religious leaders are furious. And Jesus looks at them and says, have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. In other words, meaning, these children see what you have missed. The ones who depend completely, who have no status to protect, no position to defend, well, they recognize me and you don't. Here is the shape of the kingdom. God does not work primarily through the impressive, through eloquence, through power, through the ones who have it all together. He works through the dependent. He works through those who know that they are mortal, that they are frail, that they are but dust with a heartbeat, and reach for him anyway. Which means the way into the psalm, the way into the crown, is not confidence in yourself. It is a childlike trust in the God whose name is majestic in all the earth. Small enough to need him. That is the beginning of everything. So two things that we need to learn and take away today. We need to learn to receive the crown. And I want to say this carefully, perhaps to someone whose God is stirring in their heart today. You were made with dignity. Not earned dignity. Not provisional dignity. Not dignity that depends on your productivity, your appearance, your history, your performance. God has crowned you. Whatever voice has been telling you that you are worthless, that voice is not the voice of the God who has made you. The God who made you called you what he made very good. You do not have to earn what he has already given you. And secondly, let's keep looking up. David wrote this psalm lying on his back with his face to the stars. There is a posture of the soul that we need to recover. The world will pull your gaze downward constantly, down to the screen, down to anxiety, down to comparison. But your identity is from above, not below. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He picked up the crown that we had dropped, wore it through Gethsemane and Calvary, and now is crowned with glory and honor at the right-hand side of the Father. So let us fix our eyes on him. And then when we do that, something begins to happen. Slowly, we are transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. David ends where he began in this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The same words, but now they carry everything that we have walked through. So if you have never put your trust in Jesus, this psalm is showing you the God who made you, who knows you and has not given up on you. The crown you were made for is available, not through striving, but through surrender to the one who has already won it. And you can come to him today. And if you already follow him, stop agreeing with the voices that diminish you. You were not made to live small. You are made to bear the image of God. So lift your face, receive the crown, and live like the son and daughters of God that you are. Then go out into the world and tell the psalm that we heard and live it to others. Because we might be small, but we are crowned with glory. Amen.